Hello and welcome into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Thank you for watching us on the We the Patriots USA Rumble channel and Red Voice Media, and for listening on New Hampshire Family Radio WLMW 90.7 FM Manchester, New Hampshire, KKVV Radio in Las Vegas, Real Talk 93.3 The Voice of Freedom in St. Louis, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like us on your station, email us at Taryn@WeThePatriotsUSA.org. What is regenerative farming? We've talked about it a little bit on this show when we've had various homesteaders on, as well as Philip from the Carnivore Bar. Well, today we're going to talk about it with a regenerative farmer himself, Charles Mayfield, who founded Faro Skincare. So we're going to talk about using animal fats. That's right, animal fats on your skin. I do it. I use the Faro Skincare products. I think they're amazing. I've been using coconut oil for a really long time. I have a lot of friends whose kids, you know, suffer with eczema. So they've used products like tallow and different things like that and have had a lot of success with it. So we're going to talk about all of this, how it plays into your health, and also about how big business, you know, how we don't even know what's in these skincare products, what we need to be watching out for, and why supporting, you know, these small farmers, these clean farmers, and these small businesses can help us really know and understand what's in our products. Because as we know, if you guys have been following the Crunchy Mom news lines out there, that a lot of our favorite brands that we thought we could trust for our kids and so on and so forth have been bought up by big business. Here's just a few of them that have been making their rounds in the news lately. Annie's, you know, that mac and cheese that so many of us like to get, the organic mac and cheese for our kids, they've been bought by General Mills. Dave's Killer Bread, Flower Foods, Applegate Farms, Hormel, Suja was bought up by Coca-Cola. Bragg's Apple Cider Vinegar, they were bought up by Swander Pace Capital, who some people have said Bill Gates has ties to. I've been doing research on that. I haven't totally hashed that one out, but I do know that some of the investors in that company include Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry. And so, you know, we don't really know who we can trust out there with these big brands anymore. So I think that, you know, small business moving forward, supporting local, supporting your everyday farmer, that is to me the way we move forward and the way we break away from big business. And yes, you might have to pay a little bit more, but that means that you know what's in your products. You know, so many of us have become so used to A, the convenience, and B, the cheap products. And, you know, I myself too, I'm a bargain shopper. I want those cheap products. But I think that by skimming the fat, if you will, by saying, okay, I don't need all this stuff, I can buy a lot less stuff and purchase quantity over quality and ensure that my family is getting good things. You know, go a step further and make your own mac and cheese instead of, you know, just guessing on what's in your Annie's mac and cheese that's now bought by General Mills, that we know, you know, we can't really trust them. They are in the pockets deep with all of our alphabet agencies, with all of our nutrition regulators out there. If you go on, I think Tufts, it was recently, had a nutritional list for their children and what your kids should be eating. And it said things, you know, like apples, bananas, things like that. And then on this list, you have name brand cereals. How is it that the Cocoa Puffs and different things are getting on a list of generic foods? That's right, they're in their pockets. So we need to be supporting people who are trying to forge a new path forward, who share the same values as you, and who want clean products for your kids. So, you know, I'll post that list again on my social media so you can see some of these brands that you thought you could trust that were bought out. And we'll talk about some more of those in the skincare realm here too, and how you can get yourself some clean skincare along with supporting your local farmers. So we'll talk to Charles Mayfield of Faro Skincare in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by the Carnivore Bar, providing a fuel source for ancestral carnivore, paleo, and keto eaters who value their on-the-go autonomy without sacrificing quality nutrition. For 10% off, use code WeThePatriots at carnivorebar.com. That's WeThePatriots with an S at carnivorebar.com for 10% off.
Where do we go from here? Because the battle has just begun. As eyes open, we continue to arm ourselves with the truth in all aspects of our lives, asking questions and relentlessly searching for answers, educating ourselves and forging a new path forward. Hear from real people faithfully pursuing freedom. This is Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization working to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights.
Hi, Charles. Welcome to the show.
Taryn, it's great to be here. Good to see you.
Oh, so good to see you. And, you know, I was showing you that list of those brands that have been bought out by big business here recently. And you mentioned one in the skincare realm that so many of us have enjoyed over the past couple of decades, actually. Burt's Bees has been bought out, too.
Yeah, it's been a number of years now that Burt's was acquired. And it's part of the market, part of the I will highlight one that did get bought out that has so far held on to its quality standards, if you will. I'm a big fan of Mark Sisson and the Primal Kitchen. I'm sure you're aware of of his company, but that's one of the companies that's that has held its ground through the acquisition and ongoing process. But yeah, most brands don't survive, and who knows where Primal Kitchen will end up, but hopefully they'll hold the course.
Yeah, that would be great. I love their mayonnaise. We buy their avocado oil mayonnaise, and it's good stuff. But you know, it is part of the game, right? I mean, if you do become successful and want to be able to scale up, so many of these businesses that, you know, started off with good intentions feel like they have no choice but to sell their business if they want it to continue to grow. Or, you know, maybe it's a weary road to be a small business owner and to grow your business to be so successful that maybe they get to the point where, you know, they're ready to hand off the reins and cash in. And, you know, I get all of that. I get all of it. But at the same time, we need people to stick true to the values.
Yeah, it's such a complicated issue. Mm-hmm. I think one of the, you know, that I'm grateful for your show and your listeners, I think, and technology. I think we've reached a point now where information, there's almost too much, but good information you can go find. And so, you know, we talk about Primal Kitchen. We talk about some of these brands. You know, the day that Primal Kitchen, you know, jumps the shark, so to speak, with its product or its ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. The consumer now has the power of the pen and the wallet to be able to share that information with the world, right? And so it's a little bit harder now for brands to be, or I guess it's more challenging now for brands to get away with that kind of stuff. And then I would say to your listener, the consumer is becoming way more educated. You know, we'll talk about skincare, here in a minute, but, you know, one of the things that as a company gets bigger, right, the closer you get to the alphabet organization, you know, the US duh and the F duh and some of these, the closer you get there, right, in terms of corporate size, then the more in the club you become. And so many of the costs to crappy, cheap, toxic, preservative-laden products, whether that be food or skincare, so many of those costs have been externalized from the consumer process, right? You know, the degradation of our soils, the long-term ramifications of micro-exposure to some of these parabens and phthalates and preservative chemicals. We don't truly grasp the full extent of those costs. We just, you know, the consumer just looks at, oh, it's cheap food or it's cheap this. And I think we're starting to turn a corner because there's no way to remove those costs. You just externalize them. You push them out into the ether. And so, you know, for consumers that are more highly educated and demanding quality and transparency and lack of junk, hopefully companies will continue to rise like Primal Kitchen did, like Pharaoh's trying to do, and Carnivore Bar. I know they're a sponsor of your podcast. I love Philip and Courtney and what they're doing. Fantastic product. I know where they source their stuff from, you know, so it's a vertically like awesome company top to bottom, and everything's US based. And so there's so many patriotic, wonderful things going on right now. And I'm honored to be here talking about them.
Yeah, I think it's just really an exciting time, and COVID really ushered that in, that, you know, we're able to forge this new path forward and we're able to support one another. And, you know, even though funds are tight, we can be more conscious of where we are spending our hard-earned dollars, and not only who we're supporting, but what those products then do to ourselves or our family, and how those short-term costs that may seem a little bit higher when you're supporting a small business versus a big box business, in the long run, they're actually cheaper because you're not going to be spending near as much money on healthcare or sick care, as I like to call it on this show, in the long run, whenever you are, you know, putting good ingredients on your skin, which is your largest organ in your body. It absorbs everything, and so on and so forth. So we'll talk about that and your farming journey, your regenerative farming journey. So many of us, myself included, are wanting to jump into the homesteaders game, whether on a small scale or a large scale. And you did that already. So you have some tips for us and how that led to Faro Skincare. So just a moment here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. You guys know that we have been partnering up with the wellness company, and most people don't trust their healthcare right now. In fact, over 40% of Americans say that they would avoid a doctor or a hospital unless it was a catastrophic situation. So Awake Doctors, like Dr. Peter McCullough, who is in our new documentary, Shot Dead, which you can view at shotdead.org. He built the wellness company with other of these doctors to build a parallel system to bring desperately needed change to healthcare. So part of that change is their medical emergency kits, 8 potentially life-saving medications for you to keep on hand in times of need. The kit includes a comprehensive guidebook, so you never have to guess how much to take or when to take it. This is a good time to purchase it for you or your family over the holidays. And if you're like me and you want to make sure your family is prepared for the unexpected, go to twc.health/WTPUSA and use code WTPUSA to save 10% at checkout. That's twc.health/WTPUSA, code WTPUSA for 10% off. Welcome back into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. We are delighted to be joined by Charles Mayfield of Faro Skincare. They are a line that sources their products from regeneratively raised agriculture. And, you know, Charles, we were just talking about in the first segment how, you know, with this information age and the technology that we're in, that, you know, we have all of these advancements, all these different ways we can get this information. But I think so many of us are wanting to take a step back and look at some of the ancestral ways that people were doing things and using these God-given foods and creatures and things like that, and use it in the way that he intended and not in the way that, you know, these big businesses manipulate it and come up and create their own chemicals and toxins. Faro is so much of that. It's this ancestral way of using a lard. And I think that people, I want to talk about this because when I tell people that I use this, they're like, what are you talking about? You put animal fat on your skin. And it's like, okay, if you use coconut oil, that's another oil or what have you. It's clean. It's what our ancestors used to use.
Yeah. It's evidence of the PSYOP. We've been told that plant-based protein is better to eat than animal-based protein. You know, we've lost so much intuition, Taryn. I usually lead with that. Like, you know, people, well, first off, I'm in the business of telling people to smear lard on their skin. And so, yeah, lard, what do you mean put lard on your face? And my first question is, have you read the ingredients on the product that you put on your face now? So let's, you know, here's lard. It's a 4-letter word. You know, good Lord, we can't have a 4-letter word. But you know, read the ingredients on your current skincare product and you know, pronounce them and tell me if you're comfortable putting that on your face. You know, the other part is, and this is not to bemoan coconuts or olives or the shea plant or it, you know, and let's be clear, if that's the fat that is, because skincare is fat based.
Yes.
Most products are an emulsification of water and fat. We can talk about that, but it's ultimately a fat based industry. Okay. Count yourself lucky if you've got a coconut oil or olive oil or shea butter based cream. Most of the products are some petroleum derivative, petrolatum, which is the active ingredient in Neosporin and petroleum jelly, right? Most of the products on the market, regardless of the price point, are utilizing a waste product from the gas and oil industry, okay? But I tell people, we've lost our intuition. You're not a coconut and you're not an olive, you're an animal. And specifically, humans are monogastric omnivores, which coincidentally is the same as a pig. And so at Faro, we say the swine is divine, but the lard is hard. You have to, because of the general biological match between pigs and humans, then lard is a fantastic fat for cooking and also skincare. But you have to raise a healthy, happy pig in order for that pig to metabolize and store all of that nutrition in its fat. We could certainly talk about that more.
Yeah, I would like to, because I think it all plays in there together. I mean, yes, it's so funny that we've been told, you know, that and been, programmed to think things like raw milk are bad for you, and that is the way that God intended for it to be. These skincare products that have parabens and all these kind of things, and oh, that's okay for you, but not lard from a pig. That's weird. You know, that's just, it's strange if you really think about it, how we've been programmed to think that. But, I do want to talk about how it's made, what is, you know, how you guys, do you render the lard, different things like that? I think some people are familiar with tallow, which comes from cows. That's cow fat that is rendered down into tallow. But I've used tallow in the past, and I'm telling you what, guys, the lard is so creamy. It's so luxurious. It's so rich. You know, tallow can be kind of grainy and things like that. But the lard, whenever you sent it to me and I tried it, I'm like, wow, this is 10 times better than the tallow. And it makes sense. I've not thought about the fact of, you know, pigs in relation to humans and all of that. I think that it makes a lot of sense. But I think people would love to know, how you guys make it, how you go about doing it, and how it starts with a healthy pig. Because again, let's say you've got the parabens and everything that's not in your skincare, but you're still getting this fat from a, you know, commercially raised pig that's in a very unhealthy environment. That's not going to help you out either.
Yes, I get this question a lot. I don't have a solid answer for it as to whether industrial pork, industrial lard is better or worse than some of the other industrial skincare ingredients, but I don't really want to have that conversation. So the problem in this country with pork is that 98.5% of the pork that's raised in this country is raised in the industrial model, mm-hmm. which, so real quick with the pig and human biology match. Okay. For your listeners that don't know this, we train our surgeons on pigs. Okay. We harvest hormones from pigs and use them in humans. We take the heart valve out of pigs and we use it to repair the heart valve in humans. So there is a ton of biological mimicry, shared biology between pigs and humans. That can be an asset or a problem. And so this is why the pig has to be raised. So how does Faro come to market? Okay, so soup to nuts is you have a healthy, happy pig that's born, preferably outdoors. I'm okay with farrowing. Farrowing is the term for, you know, raising baby pigs. So I'm okay with farrowing in sort of a housing setting, depending on the situation and where you are. But the sooner that piglet has access to the outdoors and fresh air and fresh pasture, the better. But that pig spends the entirety of its life in fresh air and sunshine, moves around frequently. It's not spending a lot of time in its one place because manure builds up and urine and things like that. Pigs are an amazing animal to help massage and turn the soil. I mean, pigs root. This is their God-given. The thing that brings them the most pleasure is rooting around and finding grubs and things of that nature. And so, yes, you want to raise a pig out on pasture. Pastured pork is the best term for that. In terms of the feed.
And we'll pick that up in just a moment here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Still more about raising a healthy, happy pig, why that not only helps you, the planet, our soil, and the animals themselves, the full circle of it all here in just a moment on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Today's case spotlight has to do with our new film, Shot Dead. We are helping to find justice for these families that are featured in our film. We vow here at We the Patriots USA to hold COVID shot manufacturers liable for fraud in the EUA applications. On October 23rd, 2023, just days before the completion of our film, We the Patriots USA, which is a nonprofit public interest law firm that helps to fuel this show, broke the news that it intends to file litigation against Pfizer for its failure to disclose the presence of contaminants in the shots to the regulatory authorities or the public in seeking emergency use authorization. Ernest Ramirez and the Martins, who are in our film, have already agreed to be plaintiffs in that litigation. We the Patriots USA is asking for your help to stand up for these children and consider us in your year in giving. Join the fight to get justice for these victims by making a donation at wethepatriotsusa.org. Welcome back into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Charles Mayfield joining us. We were just talking about raising a happy, healthy pig, farrowing that pig, getting that baby piglet out on pasture as soon as possible so it can live its happy life out there digging and rooting in the soil. Their pigs are really good at clearing brush and debris, and you know, they do really good in the trees, in the woods, and on pasture, and they're a versatile animal. And you know, if they're out there fertilizing the land, moving them around, part of that regenerative model that is basically, you know, what we used to have in this country naturally, you know, these animals moving around and helping one another out. That's helping to have a happy, healthy pig, and that's going to end up giving you, healthy products at the end of it. You were just talking about the food that this pig, that a healthy pig would consume. Pick it up from there on the other part of the pig's life.
Sure. Yeah. So this is one of the, again, the sort of the misnomers about food labeling and this, that, and the other. So if you find an organic chicken or an organic pork in a store, that label, I'm not saying that organic's not a great label, but the organic label with regards to animal meat has to do with what the animal was fed. Okay. Now, it is important what you feed an animal, and especially a pig. And so I drew the line personally at a non-GMO soy-free ration for our pigs. There's some arguments out there about corn and soy and whether they should be part of a pig's diet or not. But more importantly, and this is where the environment that animal grows up in is just as important, if not more so, especially with monogastric omnivores like pigs and chickens. We don't use any chicken fat in our products, but similar monogastric applications. But the point is, environment is just as much of a part of the animal's diet as the food it's eating. And in the case of a pig, they're going to actually metabolize a lot of vitamins and minerals from the rooting. I mean, a pig probably goes through a couple pounds of dirt a year in terms of rooting around, you know, in a pastured setting. And then the other piece to a pastured pork experience is pigs, just like humans, metabolize vitamin D from sun exposure. Okay, so when you give pigs access to the sun, they metabolize and store vitamin D in their fat, just like humans do. And so, yeah, it's pastured, our smart lard, we call it smart lard, is chock full of all the vitamins, minerals, collagen, peptides that a healthy human skin is going to crave.
I think that's so key for people that, you know, you are not just getting a clean product, but you're getting one with vitamins and nutrients that you're putting back into your skin, which, like I said, is the biggest organ on your body. It absorbs everything like instantly. And so that's huge that people can get those vitamins and nutrients too from using the lard.
Correct. Yes. And so so we raise this healthy, happy pig. I say a pig that has one bad day, you know, and so we have this one bad day. And out of that one bad day, you get delicious pulled pork, you get pork chops, you get bacon, you get, you know, all the great things. And then you also get this subcutaneous as well as visceral fat. So we use two fats from pigs. We use the lard and then also leaf lard in our products. We talked about tallow earlier. We actually use tallow, some tallow in our products as well. And tallow is the rendered visceral fat from a ruminant, most commonly a cow. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a trifecta of fats that we utilize in our products. And so that cow has one, or that the pig has one bad day, creates all this food, creates all this additional fat. And so then we wet render. There's two ways to render predominantly fat. We wet render it in my local church kitchen right now. We're still handcrafting out of my kitchen all of our products. And we'll render the fats down. We store them in an airtight facility. Fat stores incredibly well. It has an extreme, especially if you render it properly. It's funny, Taryn, I've got pictures. You can look this up, but the turn of the century, you know, think like early 1900s. Again, everyone knew what lard was 100 years ago because that was all we used. You know, we're coming up now on like 125 year anniversary of like Crisco making its market debut. And Crisco came after lard. Crisco, for those that don't know, dyed white because the preeminent cooking fat at the turn of the century was lard, and lard is white at, you know, in a can. But I see these cans, like 5-gallon cans, like 40, 50 pounds of lard that were sold, right? This was a product that you'd pick up at the general store 150 years ago. This is before refrigeration, HVAC. And so, you know, the shelf life of this stuff is quite tremendous. And so we wet render it, and then we batch make our products. We have a very few products, but they're highly effective and work very well. So
that is so cool. And I love that you bring up Crisco. I mean, we've had Sally Fallon Morrell from Weston A. Price Foundation on the show a lot. And we talk about how, you know, things like heart disease and such did not come around until the advent of Crisco, until the advent of these false fats, these man-made fats. That is what has led to the health decline, not butter, not lard, not tallow, not these various fats that are natural that come from animals. Those do not cause the heart disease and the issues there. So, and, you know, again, it can be used on your skin. Our ancestors used it on their skin. You know, just think about whenever you're making cookies or something like that, and you have a lot of butter and your skin feels really luxurious. Your hands do after you've sat there and baked and handled all these various things. It's the same concept. And it's so cool how you guys, you know, I've called and talked to you before, and you've been down in your basement packaging things with your son. It's just so cool how you've made this into a family business. I love that.
Well, thank you. The kids are fired up about it, and you know we want to grow. I mean, I'd love to be in a position to take a big bite out of the Cliniques and Olays of the world that are poisoning us all. The kids are really one of the biggest motivators I've got. Just because I had this watershed moment where I was sunburned and figured out how the lard works in mysterious ways, and I have a background in sort of nutrition and fitness coaching, and so my ex-wife and I have published a number of cookbooks in the paleo space. And so I took my lens. You've heard this, you know, if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't eat it. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that's, and paleo is like, if you know, it's what our ancestors would have eaten, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago. When I took that lens and shined it on skincare, oh, it was arguably worse in terms of just the toxic goop that they allow on our skin. And so I'm looking at that. I'm looking at my kids. At the time, they were 5 and 6, 5 and 7 years old. And it's like, we got to do something about this.
Absolutely. Our children, yeah, we have all these different things that we slather on them. Sunscreen being one of those that has all kinds of really bad chemicals in it as well. But if you're protecting your skin and treating it with things like lard, you don't need the sunscreen. And if you're, you know, going out and being mindful of how much sun, when you're getting the sun, how much you're getting the sun, I mean, you're going to be fine. We don't get enough vitamin D. You don't want to prevent your skin from soaking in vitamin D when you are outside and slathering chemicals all over your body while you're at it. So, you know, I think that's so mindful that you came to that realization with your kids. How did you go from, you know, being a part of the nutrition and fitness industry to diving into farming? Because I think so many people are really interested in that these days. They really do want to, you know, grow and produce some, if not all, of their own food.
Yeah, well, it was the paleo community that really pointed me towards regenerative farming. It was 2013-14. I took my first trip. Julie and I went up to Polyface Farms in Virginia. Mm-hmm. This was the year, I believe, they launched the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which is for your listeners, it's a fantastic organization. They help represent small farmers when big industry and regulation, you know, try and shut them down. There's been a lot of news. Amos Miller, the Miller farm this year was raided. So anyway, I got to meet the Salatin family and see Polyface. This is in 2013 or 14. And I was hooked. And so, you know, I look at it as a natural progression. So you got fitness that pointed you towards what are you eating? And then what are you eating points you towards, well, where am I getting it from? And so, you know, ultimately, I think I've probably always had the bug to farm. If you'd asked me this 15 years ago, I'd have told you were crazy. But I love the outdoors. I love animals. And so, yeah, we just, you know, I decided to give it a whirl. This was 2016-17 and micro farm. I mean, we were teeny tiny. And so, but thanks to the Joel Salatins of the world and the Greg Judys of the world and Will Harris's of the world, there's a lot of information and real how-to instructions out there on how to do this. And so
I love that that was kind of your journey, because ours is similar to that. You know, farming's kind of in my husband's family background. They've done it in a small scale for a while. And, you know, right before COVID, I'd say we started to kind of have our eyes open just before, you know, God's timing and all of it. So then when COVID did happen, we were like, wow, we've been seeing this and this is really coming into fruition. And so, you know, we got chickens. I had a home birth at the time and we're like, let's move back to our roots, to our family's land, and let's give it a whirl. Joel Salatin and Greg Judy and all these different names that you're naming off have been people that we've looked toward and, you know, in our journey as well. And we'll talk more then about how you did make that leap here in our final segment on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson here in just one moment. You can head over to TarynGregson.com. Sign up for our newsletter. That will get you your free resource guides. We've got an aluminum resource guide up there. We've got fluoride resource guides and so much more. You can also become a part of my clean living community if you sign up for our free newsletters. You will get information about things like Faro Skincare, these different products that I use, like Azure Standard, and all of these different products that I use via my newsletter. So go to TarynGregson.com where we have all kinds of resources like vaccine exemption, by state resources, clean living resources, and so much more at TarynGregson.com. Welcome back into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Charles, you were just talking about who inspired you and your journey to starting your micro farm. How did you make that leap? How did you really start it? And, you know, any tips you have for people that haven't yet made the leap?
Sure. I was recalling, I think that's how you and I got really connected, was through farming.
Yeah, we were, I think, because
you were moving. When we first talked, y'all were just about to make the leap. And so how did I get started? Well, I mean, you know, like with many things, there's only so many books you can read until it's like school of hard knocks time, folk. So, you know, I'd read and read and read. You know, there was some other, you know, life circumstances that were sort of cropping up that sort of pointed towards, you know, giving this a whirl. And so, yeah, I mean, we started very small. Again, I've been very fortunate to have Fields of Farmers is a great book. Anything Salatin's written. But I want to say I read two or three of his books. I went to a couple of different schools. This was early podcasting, too. So I got into Diego Footer was doing Permaculture Voices as a podcast a number of years ago. But at some point it's like, you gotta put up or shut up. There's only one way to really learn. And so that's what we did. And we started very small, one batch of broilers, one batch of layers, small batch of pigs. And we stayed fairly small. For your listeners that are interested, I highly recommend the Polyface Micro book. It's one of Joel's most recent ones, but it's a real, distillation of their model at a homestead scale. And so I think, again, I think he's one of the absolute best resources in the regenerative world. And then, you know, if you're following him, you'll get connected to other people that are obviously, great voices in the space.
I think it's great. I love the eclectic mix of people that come together through the clean living and regenerative farm movement. You have people from all different sides of the aisle that are just looking for this transcends politics. This transcends even worldview. Although I think that it is very natural for those of us Christians who want to be stewards of the earth and stewards of our families and what we've been given, and to, you know, treat things in the way that God intended them to be treated. I think that's a very Christian worldview. But again, this involves people of all different walks of life that really just want clean food, clean products, clean living for their family. And so it's really neat to see just that eclectic group of people that have been attracted to this movement. And I think that your skincare products, given how luxurious they are, how high quality they are, that I think that that Pharaoh as well can attract a consumer of all various walks of life.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, our you said something very early in the interview about regenerative farming, and you know, I mean, this is God's calling. There's nothing, no greater calling than, you know, He tasked us to take care of these animals and to nurture the earth. And you know, there's a lot of different floating definitions of what is regenerative agriculture. Mm-hmm. Mine is it builds soil. Yeah. And I think you can really narrow it down to just that one ethos, you know, building soil, because there's so much that goes into building soil. I'm not talking about dirt. I'm talking about living, breathing soil. And it's one of the, you know, back to these externalized costs that are no one's factoring in. You know, our industrial farming industry in this country is costing us topsoil by the megaton every single year. It's poisoning our waterways with all the chemicals and things of that nature. And I do not think that is part of God's plan in the least. And so, you know, the way that we farm is free of all of that and is actually working with nature to build soil. Alan Savory, the Savory Institute, is another fantastic organization. And in his book, Holistic Land Management, he talks sort of basically about managing the three E's. You know, have to manage the environment / ecology. You know, when you're functioning as a farm or a business, you have to manage the ecology. You have to manage energy consumption. Mm-hmm. So how are we utilizing the sun? How are we utilizing fossil fuels? You know, how are we need to use these wisely, right? And then how are you managing the economics? And all three of those are critical to an optimal, vibrant, ongoing, sustainable business. And the problem with industrial agriculture is we have put economics and profit above both of those and almost to their degradation. And so we need to bring those back into balance.
Absolutely agree. And that fact that now we have dirt instead of soil for most of what the food and products that we consume by big ag is what has led to a lot of the nutrition deficiencies that we are experiencing as one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Our food is dead, and the products that we're putting on our skin don't have hardly any vitamins, minerals, or nutrients because our soil is depleted and now dirt and not soil. And so that's what I love about the regenerative movement. And you see some of these farmers showing their journeys and showing how they took this brown, sandy dirt, and just in a few short years, they now have rich black soil. And it's just so neat. And it's so cool that you are a skincare product now a part of that. It's not just only exclusively for food.
It's super cool, right? I love the there's memes going around now that show, and again, if we've just lost our intuition. 100 years ago, every conceivable product you can imagine that would be at a drugstore or grocery store, all of it came from animals. Mm-hmm. You know, our hair care products are this, are that. It, you know, very, very few things were derived. Skincare as an industry did not exist 150 years ago. I say that as an industry, right? Skincare mm-hmm. was reserved for the half a percent, the only the elite, because these products were hard to find and were very costly. The irony is that most poor folk, you know, 150 years ago, which was all of us, right? I mean, we were all just like foot, hand to mouth, like just not trying not to starve. But ironically, our skin was in pretty good shape because we respected the sun. We spent plenty of time outdoors. But, you know, if it was noon on a Tuesday, we were fully clothed, mm-hmm. right? We weren't basking in the sun, you know, naked or half naked at noon. So that's number one. Number two, people don't think about this. We were elbow deep as a species. We were elbow deep in animal fat on a weekly basis because you'd harvest a deer, or it was time to slaughter the pig, or it's time to feed my family. You know, there was no refrigeration. There was salt, and there were larders, you know, food larders. And so you were butchering an animal, you're covered in animal fat on at least a regular weekly basis. And so, mm-hmm. you know, skincare industry is relatively new, and we need one. You know, our modern lives, you know, the further we've gotten away from sort of that ancestral model, the more our skin does need, you know, these incredible animal fats to feed and nourish it.
Absolutely. Where can people get Faro skincare products, especially now for the holidays? Where can people go get it?
Sure. Well, not in the store. Mm-mm. Not in the store. I'm not sure when we're going to ever be in a store. We have our website. Our website is Faro, FARROW.life. And then if you add a /Taryn, I've given all your listeners a discount code, it saves them 20%. And then as part, I will just say, since we're recording this before Christmas, we have a holiday deal going through the end of the year. So every $100 you spend on our website, you get a free one of our Epidermis products, which is our new product. I love it. It's fantastic, but it's a portable, packable. It actually makes a hell of a stocking stuffer. And so for every $100 you spend, you get a free one of those. So it's a nice way to sort of buy three, get one for free kind of thing.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much, Charles. God bless you, your family, and Faro Skincare. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Taryn. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks.
If you enjoy our content, prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation at WePatriotsUSA.org so we can continue to power the education arm of our mission that also extends to work to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights. God bless, and thank you from everyone here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA.
We the Patriots USA does not endorse or recommend any product or service advertised on this program. We the Patriots USA is not a healthcare provider and cannot provide medical advice or treatment.